Amen. Please be seated. If you have your Bible with you, I invite you to join me in Romans 8. Eventually, we're going to get to Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. We are continuing this morning in our series on spiritual practices. And you'll remember from last week, we talked about the fact that our God is actually more interested in our healing and transformation than we are. But the way that we respond to God's invitation toward that transformation is through spiritual practices. We're going to focus this morning on the first of those practices, meditative prayer. In its simplest form, we can say that prayer is defined as all the ways we communicate with God. But there's more to prayer than just information or logistical communication. Prayer is communion with God. In fact, it's been said the fundamental purpose of prayer is to deepen our intimacy with God. Let's start by talking about intercession. Intercession can be defined as the act of intervening on behalf of another. An intercessor is a person who pleads another's case. Intercessory prayer is the backbone of the majority of local church prayer ministries and prayer chains. We take our needs, and not only do we pray them to God in intercessory prayer, we intercede on behalf of other people. So when our prayer chain emails go out, we're engaging in that intercessory prayer. When you visit with someone from our prayer team after worship, that's our intercessory prayer. We bring each other's needs before God. And why wouldn't we? In Luke 11, Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. For everyone who asks, receives." And the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 2:1 says, "I urge them that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all." But there's more to prayer than just intercession. Prayer is a pathway to intimacy with God. We learn this in our human relationships. We start with logistical communication. Information is passed between people, but communion is the deeper goal. In our relationship with God, we can choose to simply ask for what we want, or we can choose to go deeper. Listen to the way author Richard Foster describes the invitation to communion with God through prayer. "We do not need to be shy. He invites us into the living room of his heart, where we can put on old slippers and share freely. He invites us into the kitchen of his friendship, where chatter and batter mix in good fun. He invites us into the dining room of his strength, where we can feast to our heart's delight. He invites us into the study of his wisdom, where we can learn to grow and stretch and ask all the questions we want. He invites us into the workshop of his creativity, where we can be co-laborers with him, working together to determine the outcome of events. He invites us into the bedroom of his rest, where new peace is found, and where we can be naked and vulnerable and free. It is also the place of deepest intimacy, where we know and are known to the fullest." You tell me, does your heart long for this kind of connection with God? Or are you content with just the logistics? Each of us were created for this kind of connection, for this kind of communion. Why is it, though, that we're sometimes so reticent to accept the invitation? I think it's often because we're afraid that we don't know how. We know how to offer prayers on behalf of others. We know how to bring our needs to God. But when it comes to these deeper forms of prayer, we sometimes wonder if we're doing it right. We wonder how to engage God in these ways, and so in that fear of doing it wrong, we don't engage in those deeper levels of prayer. But the good news that rises from Romans chapter 8 is that we don't need to know how. We don't have to be experts at these forms of prayer because we have the Holy Spirit residing within us, and the Spirit's gift to us is this deeper level of communing meditative prayer. Look with me for a moment to Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. That phrase, in the same way, refers back to verses 15 to 17, where Paul reassures believers that we are God's children. There is no fear in our prayer and our approach to God, because we are God's children. We are welcome anytime, any place, in any way to approach our God. And we're promised here that even in our human weakness and frailty, the Holy Spirit will be our help. There's a beautiful Greek word that Paul uses here to describe the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Look up on the screen and you'll see that word. And does everyone want to say it with me as we read it off? I practiced in my office all morning, you guys, and I just can't get it. Sunen telambanatai, I think, is how we say it, okay? And it means coming alongside another to take part of a heavy load and bear it. That's the word that Paul chose to describe the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us. When we're not sure what to do, the Spirit comes alongside us and bears the burden that we can't bear on our own. We have this helper. We have this guide. We have this comforter residing within us. We don't know how to pray. We do not know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes. We're told the Spirit is pleading our case before God with groanings too deep for words. The groanings of our own soul, the groanings and desires of the living God combining together in a beautiful prayer that is offered to our Heavenly Father. Theologian Douglas Moo says it this way: our inability to pray as precisely as we'd like is no hindrance to the working out of God's will in our lives, all because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And even when we run out of words, the Spirit lifts us and our needs before the Father. We have the assurance here that the Spirit prays for even deeper needs in our emotions and our souls than we might even be consciously aware of. We're known that deeply by the Spirit, and those needs are lifted to our Heavenly Father. The way I like to picture this ministry, this prayer that the Spirit offers on my behalf, is from that passage in Mark 14:32, where Jesus takes his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane, and when they arrive there, he says, "Sit here while I pray." I always thought that was funny when I looked at that passage. Sit here while I pray. Why didn't he say, "Let's go pray together," or "Why don't you join me in prayer?" Jesus says, "Sit here while I pray." There was this sense that Jesus needed to pray for himself, yes, but also he could pray for the needs of his disciples, perhaps even more passionately and more accurately than they could themselves. I imagine the Spirit saying to me, "Kevin, sit here while I pray. I have this prayer partner who resides within me, who can lift the most intimate needs of my soul to my Heavenly Father." And it's such a beautiful, beautiful gift. So how do we put this into practice? Philip Yancey says, "God is already present in my life and all around me. Prayer offers a chance to attend and respond to that presence." This makes that idea from 1 Thessalonians 5:17, where we're called to pray without ceasing, it makes it actually possible to realize that we can be engaged in a posture of prayer, in an ongoing communion with God throughout the day, because we're aware of the presence of God with us and simply choosing to engage that presence more often. So how do we get started in doing this? The spiritual practice I want to suggest to us this morning and for trying on this week is an ancient practice called breath prayer. Breath prayer has served to transform and heal believers as far back as the 6th century within the church. It's a very simple practice, deceptively simple, actually, but I want to run through the basics of it as we close today, and I want to hand this practice to you as you move out into your week and ask that you try it on for size. Ask that you see what it feels like to engage in this kind of prayer with the assistance of the Holy Spirit within you. Breath prayer is so simple. It begins with words, and it's a simple construction that you come together on your own. Typically, there's a name that you have for God, and then there's a need or desire that is expressed after that. If you did your homework last week, you were remembering that Bartimaeus stood before Jesus And Jesus said to him, what is it that you want? What is it that you need? What is it that you desire from me? Maybe for you, as you construct your breath prayer, that's the desire. Whatever came to mind as you worked through that exercise last week, that's what you add to your favorite name for God. Let me give you some examples of what this might look like. Lord Jesus, be my refuge. Abba, Father, bring me peace. Holy Spirit, help me rest. And then one that's actually got a name, it's the Jesus prayer, that last one, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. That last one is actually the words of Bartimaeus from last week's passage, what he cried out to Jesus. And through history, people have grabbed hold of that Jesus prayer and used that as their mantra, used that as the prayer that they offer on an ongoing basis throughout the day for their communion and their connection to God. This idea of breath that goes with the prayer means that you choose this phrase, usually 6 to 8 syllables, so that it will fit within a breath. So that first half, Lord Jesus, is as you inhale. Be my refuge as you exhale. Lord Jesus, inhale. Be my refuge, exhale. It's so simple. But biologically, as we engage in that breathing, it calms our bodies. It makes our souls attentive. And theologically, in that breath, that pneuma in the Greek or ruach in the Hebrew, both of which refer to the Holy Spirit, we commune with the Spirit as we breathe in this meditative way, engaging the very presence of God and submitting ourselves to whatever the desire of God is in that moment, whatever way God would choose to commune with us. The setting for the prayer is also important. You want some place that's quiet. You want some place that's private so you're not self-conscious. You'll probably want to be seated while you engage in this practice. And so if you're sitting in a chair, you'll want your feet flat on the floor, stable with no distractions that way. Or if you're sitting on the floor, maybe you cross your legs and get into a position where you'll be comfortable for a little bit of time. You'll probably want your eyes closed as well, so there's no distractions at all. So you can deepen yourself down into this communion with God. And then the practice comes. It's just practicing. You breathe deeply. You lower your pulse. You begin to move through the words that you've selected, that name for God, and that need in your life again and again and again. And perhaps for you, you select a certain number of times you'd like to pray this prayer. The monasteries in the ancient church were famous for starting around 100 times and expanding from there to see how many times they could fit that prayer in each day. Most of us don't have all day every day to be praying this way, but we can choose where we want to start and how we want to do it. The monks would often have a rope that had knots in it, so they weren't trying to keep count as they went, but they would move their hand down one knot at a time as they made their way all the way through, and some of those ropes had 100 knots in them, so they would move their way down in that way. Maybe for us, though, it's just as easy to set a timer on our phone, an alarm that will go off in 5 to 10 minutes, whatever it is that's comfortable for you, so that you have a chance to lose yourself in these moments of communion with your God, not worrying about where you are, not worrying about who's watching, not worrying about the timing, but expectant that God will meet you in the midst of that practice itself. Eventually, as we find ways to practice this kind of prayer, it becomes second nature to us. We might choose to wake up in the morning and offer 5 minutes of this prayer before we even rise out of bed. Maybe midday, when we have a chance for a break, we pause once again. Maybe we end our day with a reflective moment where we pray through whatever our prayer is, our breath prayer to God. Maybe in the midst of anxiety in your day, when you're feeling far from God, feeling challenged by your circumstances, you pause and you take 5 minutes to work your way through this prayer. But eventually it becomes second nature for us. In a sense, the prayer is going on without ceasing. It becomes the foundation of our life, not necessarily replacing other forms of prayer, but becoming that rhythm and that communion that we share with God everywhere we go, no matter what we face. finding that the Spirit prays on our behalf, and our intimacy with God becomes deeper and deeper along the way. It sounds so simple. But in something this simple, we respond to God's invitation for healing and transformation, and that healing and that transformation await. There are a lot of resources about this kind of breath prayer that you can find online. I encourage you to Google and search to your heart's content if you want more information or more suggested prayer phrases. There's one website that you have up there on your screen, breathasprayer.com, that I recommend to you. There's an excellent book that Jennifer Tucker has written, and she has resources there on her website that'll help give you a fuller sense of what this invitation is. But mainly, what I want to challenge you to do this week as we continue in this spiritual practices series is practice. Carve out some time, make a commitment to give this a try, even if this is so foreign to you and so different than anything you've ever done before. And let's collectively expect together that through the Spirit's groanings within our soul and our willingness to accept God's invitation, that He will draw us closer and closer and continue that work of healing and transformation within each of us. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for your presence in this world and in each of our lives. We're thankful for your invitation to come to you in prayer. And it's our desire as your children to expand our life of prayer far beyond just bringing you our needs. We want to commune with you. We want to grow deeper in our connection and our relationship with you. Holy Spirit, we are so thankful that you reside within us, that you are able to pray for us and alongside us for needs that we may not even be aware of. And God, we are thankful for spiritual practices, even simple practices like breath prayer. They give us a chance to pause in the midst of our day, to breathe in your blessings, to commune with you, to grow closer with you. So I pray for each of us this week that you'd be our guide. Help us as we figure new ways to engage in these practices, new ways to pray, and become aware in each new moment of how very close you are and of the healing and transformation that you work within us. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.